I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And I'd like to remind you every Sunday in regards to the passage of time. We are now into the middle of February, and soon February will be over. And then very soon, Easter will be here. And then in the middle of the year, we will have our family camp. And then very soon, we'll be looking forward to the end of the year again. So we need to remind ourselves that time is passing so very, very quickly. Question is, what are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that is the question that we must answer. What are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of serving Him, in the way of glorifying His holy name? My dear friends, soon we might hear the midnight cry, and the day of the Lord will come upon us. And then we shall have to stand before Him to give an account. What account are we going to give to Him? And in regards to those of us here who are still outside the kingdom of God, how are you going to stand, my dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again? Will you be left behind? That's the question that you must answer. Now the topic this morning is Jesus, oh what a friend. Jesus, oh what a friend. John 11, verses 1 to 16, the passage that we read earlier on. I'll be speaking from this passage. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had left the city of Jerusalem because the Jews wanted to kill Him. We read that in the previous chapter, chapter 9. They wanted to stone Him. And so, subsequently, He and His disciples went to minister by the riverbank of the river Jordan. Then when He was there, He received news from the village of Bethany. Now, Bethany was a village about 3 kilometers east of the city of Jerusalem. The message that the Lord Jesus Christ received from the village of Bethany was from two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the message was this. The message was this, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus, whom you love, who is our dear brother, is sick. That was the message the Lord Jesus Christ received. And of course, the two sisters wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to come very, very quickly to the village of Bethany to heal their brother. But the Lord did not respond to that news immediately, apparently. So we read in verse 4 to verse 6 in John chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, please turn to those three verses. When Jesus heard that message, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. The Lord didn't go to Bethany straight away, but He remained at where He was for another 2 days. Now, why the delay? Now, we shall try to answer that question a little later on. But for the subject this morning, Jesus, oh, what a friend. I have 4 things to say this morning. First, Christ, the friend of this family at Bethany. He was the friend of this family at Bethany. Number 2, these friends respond to a call for help. This friend referring to Jesus, of course. And this friend's puzzling action. And number 4, this friend's tender love for Lazarus. So I want to speak four things this morning. Now first look at this family to which Jesus was a friend. And not just a friend, but a very, very special friend. Now, this family was made up of Lazarus and 2 sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, Martha was one who was very action-oriented, you might say, very practical, one who was very, very concerned about the housework. And there was the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ visited with this family, and Martha was encumbered with lots of care, busy with all the housework because she wanted to make good preparation to provide good hospitality for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she complained to the Lord Jesus Christ because her sister, Mary, was not helping her. But what was Mary doing? Mary was seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to her. And her mother was very unhappy with her sister, and she complained to Jesus that Mary wasn't helping her. And what was the Lord's reply to her? I read for you from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. I read for you these two verses, Luke 10, 41, 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part, and that good part shall not be taken away from her. And what was that good part? That good part was being seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to listen to what the Lord had to say to her. That was the good part. Now, we are talking about this family. All right, we talk about Martha, we talk about Mary. Now, Mary was one who was very contemplative, one who was very devoted to the Lord. And then there was this occasion when Mary anointed the head, anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with perfume that was very, very expensive. And she used her hair to wipe his feet. And the Lord said, against the day of my bearing has she kept this? Because there were those who were very critical of what she was doing. They thought it was a waste of money, or at least Judas was the one who thought so. A waste of money. The money could have been given to the poor. Why use that perfume to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Lord said, against the day of my bearing has she kept this. She kept this perfume for this purpose. Of course, Mary didn't know that this anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ being embalmed after he was crucified. Of course, she didn't know that. But the Lord said this, against the day of my bearing has she kept this. You see, she was very, very devoted to the Lord. Now, this home indeed was very, very devoted to the Lord. The whole family was devoted to the Lord. And the Lord would most probably usually stop at this home whenever he visited the city of Jerusalem. So, what can you say about this home? Now, this home was one was given to hospitality, you might say. Given to hospitality. Now, the question that I have for all of us is this. Is our home like this? Given to hospitality? Or are we those who are very, very close up and we are only concerned only about ourselves? We do not care about other people. We don't care to show hospitality. I knew of one family some years ago who said that before they became Christians, whenever they got home, it was as if they brought down the shutters in the home. Everything closed up, no communication with the outside. They were a very, very inward-looking family unit. Never look out. But friends, our home must be hospitable. Yes, so the question is, are we hospitable to the Lord? Is the Lord honored as the guest in our home, just as this home in Bethany did? The Lord Jesus Christ was honored as the guest in the home. Now, if we honor the Lord Jesus Christ as the guest in our home, you know what's going to happen in time? If we really, really honor him as our guest, in time, instead of just being the guest in our home, he's going to be the host in our home. Now, what would you prefer? You prefer him to be the guest in our home or the host in our home? Think about it. I think it's better to have him as the host in our home. If we honor him as our guest in time, he will be the host in our home. And if he is the host in our home, then the table that he spreads before us is going to be a table of great blessings to us. He will bless us with what, friends? He will bless us with his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He will bless us with joy that is unspeakable. He will bless us with his mercy. And of course, he will bless us with increased faith. And he will teach us this truth, that we should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if we did so, then all the things that we are in need of will be added unto us. My dear friends, he will teach us all these things and he will bless us richly if he is the host in our home. Now, if the Lord has blessed us with means and with plenty, let us use this gift for him. Yes, with means and with ability, let's use this gift that he has given us for him. Use them, my dear friends. Use these gifts for his glory. Use these gifts for hospitality, to show hospitality in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, today we can't show hospitality directly to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but surely, friends, we can show hospitality to fellow saints in the Lord, can't we? We can show hospitality to servants of the Lord, and surely, my dear friends, we can show hospitality to those who are needy, who are members of the household of faith. Now, by showing hospitality to these folks, whom are we actually showing our hospitality to? Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord one day told his disciples concerning those who showed hospitality to them when they went out ministering. The Lord said this to them, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Anybody who shows you hospitality when you go out to minister for my sake, it is as if he's going to show that kindness and that hospitality to me, which means, of course, they will be rewarded. So, my dear friends, if we show hospitality in the name of the Lord, for his glory, for his sake, we will be rewarded. Now, my question to you is, have you ever experienced the joy of showing hospitality? I tell you, it's a joyous experience. If you show hospitality to servants of the Lord, yes, those who serve him, show hospitality to missionaries, to pastors, to preachers, I tell you, it is a great joy showing hospitality to them. Of course, showing hospitality requires effort. Who says it doesn't require effort? Doesn't it require some sacrifice? Yes, of course, requires some sacrifice, time and money. But friends, the blessing is ours if we show hospitality. So would you not commit yourself to showing hospitality? Yes, if the Lord has blessed you with means and with ability, show the hospitality that he wants you to show. Now, on the day of reckoning, we will be very, very surprised when we are rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ for the hospitality that we showed to servants of the Lord. We thought that we did it to a fellow human being. That's all. We didn't think much of it. But on the day of reckoning, the Lord is going to say this to us. I read this wonderful verse to you in Matthew 25, verse 40. Matthew 25. Maybe we should read this together. All right. Matthew 25, verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40. All right. Together. Matthew 25, verse 40. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren." The Lord says, you have done this to my brethren. Even though they might be very insignificant people, if you have done this to any one of these, you have done it unto me. The brethren here, of course, refers to those who are doing the will of the Lord. Those who do the will of the Lord will be his brethren. In other words, believers, if you do this to fellow saints, the Lord says, you are going to do it, you are doing it unto me. And on the day of reckoning, the Lord is going to give us that recognition. Yes, and by his grace, we will be rewarded. Now we read in this passage that Lazarus fell sick, so sick that he died. Now, sickness and death really are no respecters of persons. We could be the Lord's best friends, just like Lazarus was a very, very good friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, but still be subject to sickness and to death. Now, sickness and death tell us that sin is real. Yes, sickness and death prove that sin exists. Sometimes people ask, oh, what do you mean by sin? You know, Well, you want to know what sin is? Just look at sickness and death. They are very, very indicative that sin exists. You go to the hospital, you see the ravages of sin. You go to the graveyard, of course you see the consequence of sin. When God created the heavens and the earth and the whole wide universe and all the creatures and put them on planet Earth, my dear friends, He created them perfect. Perfect. There was no sickness, there was no death, no sin. Yes, but sin entered into the world through our first father Adam. And as a result of sin, he died, of course. And the sin entered, as a result of sin, death entered into the world, and death is passed upon all men. Why? Because we have sinned also. We have inherited that sinful nature from Adam, and as a result of that inheritance, my dear friends, we suffer the consequence of sin, namely death. And so the Word of God tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So even if we are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, sickness and certainly death will come upon us. Now, when sickness does come upon us, we must necessarily ask this question: why are we sick? Why are we sick? Now, it is true, we can fall sick because of the sin that the whole of humanity is plagued with. Yes, because of this, the whole of humanity has been plagued with sin. We are all very, very susceptible to sickness, and that is true. But sometimes it is also true that people bring sickness down upon themselves by their sinful activities. By their willful sinning, they bring sickness upon themselves. Now, for example, people might contract the HIV virus because of their sinful sexual activities. Then there are those who suffer from mental and emotional illnesses because of the guilt of the sins that they have in their lives. The guilt that they have weighs down upon them very, very heavily. Yes. Years ago, there was this man by the name of Gutenberg who contributed greatly to the industrial development in the Palestine area. Now, he was a person who was of very, very strong will. He had a pair of hands that was very, very strong as that of a wrestler. But few people ever saw his hands. You know why? He wore gloves. Few people ever saw his hands. And why did he wear gloves? Now, the reason why he wore gloves was that in the earlier part of his life, he had strangled a vicious Russian to death with his bare hands. And as of that day, he was so burdened with that guilt that he literally was sick mentally and emotionally, to the extent that he didn't dare to look at his hands. That's why he kept on wearing gloves. So, my dear friends, when we are sick, we need to check up on ourselves why we are sick. Yes, are there sins in us that need to be confessed? Yes. And our dear friend, the Lord, sometimes chastises us through sickness to cause us to repent before something worse can befall us. So when we fall sick, let us check up on our spiritual health. Why do we fall sick? Are there sins that we need to confess? Now, because we are his friends, he might allow sickness to come upon us to cause us to lie down. We could have been bogged down by the cares of the world. Yes, bogged down by the many responsibilities that we have, that we have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been too busy at work, too busy doing things in the home, too busy doing things in the church, to the point that we become spiritually dry. Have you ever had that experience? So bogged down with so many things until you become spiritually dry. Now, during such times, the Lord may want to feed us. He wants to feed us in His green pasture. And so He causes us to lie down. He wants us to take a break. And so he allows us to fall sick. And he allows us to fall sick so that we will be drawn close to him, so that we will be made spiritually strong, so that we will not be self-reliant, but we will come to a position where we will realize that we need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to be strong. So he allows us to fall sick for that purpose. Also, as his friends, he might allow sickness to come upon us to cause us to see how temporal material things are in this world. It is to remind us that life is short. Yes, when we fall sick, it is a good reminder to us that life is short. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it disappears. Yes, it is also to remind us that we are not to set our affections on this earth, but to set our affections above. When we fall sick, we have lots of time to think. Yes, what are all these investments that I put on earth for? And then you realize, I'm not going to carry all these things along with me. Not a single cent. Naked I came into this world, and for sure naked I'm going to leave this world. That will be something that will possibly register when we are on our sick bed. So the Lord allowed Lazarus to be sick and then to die for a good purpose, as we shall see. Now, what did these friends at Bethany do when their brother was sick? What did they do? Look at verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus is sick. Now, to whom did these two sisters turn to when their brother was sick? Of course they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that was their first reaction. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. But what is our natural reaction when we are sick or somebody in the home is sick? What's the most natural reaction? Call for a doctor. Go see a doctor. That is the usual first step that we will take. But dear friends, that is not the best first step to take. The best first step to take is always this. Let's turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for help most of all. Pray to him. Ask him to guide us so that he will direct us to the right doctor who will be able to provide us the right treatment. Yes, let us remember always that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the best physician. Yes, he knows all things and he's able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with him. If he chooses to heal us, he will definitely heal us. So remember, the next time we are sick or somebody in the home is sick, the first help that we should turn to should be the help from whom? Your doctor? No. The first help that we should turn to for help must be the help from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let us see the response of this friend to the message sent to him by the two sisters. So the message went to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother is sick. Now look at the response. Lord, behold he whom thou lovest is sick. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now you say, what kind of response is that? The Lord Jesus Christ received the message. Yes, they need him to come. Here was a good friend who needs his help, who needs to be healed immediately. And there he is taking his own sweet time, delaying for another 2 days. And in fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ arrived at the village of Bethany, Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Now, what would your desire be if you were the two sisters? What would your desire be? I think our desire would be the same, right? Lord, come quickly. Our brother is in danger. He's seriously ill. He might die. Now, surely that will be our desire. Now, when someone in the home is sick or when we are sick, that is our desire too, right? For the Lord Jesus Christ to heal us quickly. And so the usual prayer that we make to the Lord will be this. Lord, please heal speedily. Don't we say that? I say we say that. Lord, heal speedily and heal us completely. Usually that will be the prayer that we make. But friends, let us understand that the Lord has a purpose if he should delay in answering our prayers. Our Lord did not respond immediately in that instance, as we see. Not that he didn't respond. He actually responded. He responded by a purposeful delay. And that was his response. Now think of the anguish, the pain, the sufferings in the home. And think of the sufferings that Lazarus went through on his sick bed. Yes, he was dying. Surely he must have been suffering terribly. Now was the Lord sympathetic? Of course he was, but he will still allow the sadness and the pain to be experienced in this home. Now, surely from where he was, from where the Lord Jesus was, could he have healed Lazarus who was in Bethany? Yes or no? Of course he could. He could have just given the word and said, let Lazarus be healed, and Lazarus will be healed immediately. But the Lord chose not to do that. Now let us realize that his will for doing things is always the best. If he doesn't say yes to our prayer request right away, there must be a good reason for the delay. And in this instance, there was an excellent reason for the delay. Look at verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what purpose? But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. So what was the sickness for? The sickness was for the glory of God. The sickness was for the glory of the Son of God. Yes, through this sickness and through the death of Lazarus, the power of God, the power of the Son of God were demonstrated. The Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead to life. Now, let's turn our attention to the scene outside the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus had already passed away for 4 days, alright? So, there were people weeping. The two sisters, Mary and Martha, must have been weeping. And outside the tomb, verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for how many days? 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, through this sickness and through this death, the Lord showed to all present outside the tomb that he was indeed sent by the Heavenly Father to perform his ministry on this earth. And that ministry that he performed on this earth included, at that instance, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Yes, he was not on this earth on his own. He was sent by his Heavenly Father. He had a mission. Yes, it was for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of God that Jesus delayed in his coming to the village of Bethany. Because when he came, he raised Lazarus from the dead to life, and all outside the tomb, all present, were witness to that. Now through this sickness, the Lord also proved through what he claimed about himself. Verses 25 and 26. All right? Jesus said unto her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now this was a claim that he made about himself before he raised Lazarus to life. Yes, so he proved that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. The Lord is saying here, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the first cause, the author of man's resurrection. I'm the conqueror over death. I'm the savior of the body. I'm the source of life, physical life, spiritual life, eternal life. All that are raised up from the grave are raised up by me. That's what he was saying when he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he says, anyone who believes in me, though he dies, will live. The people who have died, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and are buried in the grave, they will be raised up someday. And the Lord Jesus Christ then said, all of you who are alive today, if you believe in me, you will not have to face the second death in the lake of fire. Yes, of course, you will die someday. Your body will go into the grave. But you will be raised up from the grave. Yes, you'll be raised to life again, and you do not have to face the second death in the lake of fire. That was what he said. And that was the claim that he made of himself. And by raising Lazarus from the dead, by his delay in coming to the village of Bethany, the Lord Jesus Christ proved what he claimed of himself to be absolutely true. He proved that he had power over death. Yes? So you see, if he had come earlier, when Lazarus was still alive, there would not have been this opportunity for the Son of God to be glorified. When he came, if Lazarus was still alive, he probably would have healed Lazarus. All right? So there was no opportunity for him to raise Lazarus from the dead. So his delay in coming to the village of Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, was therefore for an excellent purpose. Sure, there was the pain suffered by the family. But in the end, his delay in coming to the village of Bethany worked out what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The result was, the family was strengthened by witnessing the raising of Lazarus. And the faith of those who believed in him at that time would also be strengthened. The faith of the disciples would be strengthened also. Remember, you look at chapter 11, verse 15, before the Lord Jesus left the Jordan region to go to Bethany. This was what he said to his disciples. Look at verse 15. And Jesus said, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there when Lazarus was sick but still alive, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So this delay, you can see, was really intentional, so that the disciples may witness the raising of Lazarus and have their faith in the Lord increase. Now this record of the raising of Lazarus has served also as one of the greatest comforts and assurances to people who are on their deathbed. Now, on their deathbed, when they think of this wonderful incident, they would realize what? Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life. That he is resurrection itself. That Jesus has the power to raise to life those who die in him. And surely it is one of the greatest comforts and assurances for those who are alive and whose loved ones have passed away. Yes, that one day they will be seeing their loved ones again, if their loved ones have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord is going to raise them up from the grave. He has the power to do so, and he proved that he had the power to do so by raising Lazarus from the dead. Yes, it was for this family, painful for this family at Bethany to bear the pain and the grief for those few days. But the benefit of the delay to the body of believers throughout the ages has been immense. Yes, when people think of this wonderful incident that took place at Bethany, what would they think of? Yes, they will think of that marvelous, wonderful two verses that we read earlier on. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. What a great comfort it is for people to think of that wonderful incident. Next, let us see the puzzling action taken by this friend of sinners. Now, it was of course not only that he was not, of course, he was not only the friend of the family at Bethany, but he was also the friend of sinners, friend of his disciples, of course. Look at verse 6. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And look at verse 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" What, Lord? Go back to Judea again? The Jews of late wanted to kill you, and you want to go back to Judea? Of course, the disciples would shrink from going back to Judea. It seemed something very dangerous, something really purposeless, foolhardy, purposeless. What's the point of going back? Yes, if Lazarus was still alive, there's no need for you to go back. If he was dead, what's the point of going back? He's dead already, so why go back? Now, if you were one of the disciples, would you not have reacted that way? I think you would. I think I would have reacted that way. Friends, there might be times when we are placed in a very, very puzzling situation. The Lord has called us into that situation, but it's a puzzling situation. We get into the situation, we say, this situation seems so purposeless. What's my purpose? What's the purpose of my being here? Now, for example, a missionary might be called out into a mission, in the missions field, and for years and years and years, he doesn't experience any results at all. No conversions, nothing. Then he might ask, what am I here for? No conversions. I've worked very, very hard. I've tried my very, very best, but no conversion. Purposeless for me to be here. Should he be saying that? Of course not. If he's very sure that it is the Lord who has placed him there, then he said, yes, Lord, I'll continue to be here. Or, you have been praying about a job, and the Lord grants you the job. And then when you get into the job, you say, this job is not so fun. Yes, and it seems quite purposeless for me to be in this job. Why am I in this job? But then you realize that in this job, you have great opportunities to witness for the Lord. Yes, plenty of opportunities. And then you find time serving the Lord. You find that you have time serving the Lord in the church. You find time witnessing for the Lord. My dear friends, during such times when you are in those puzzling situations, exercise faith and patience. Trust that the Lord will show you the final result. Yes, that the final result, of course, will be that you will be receiving great blessings and that you are going to be a great blessing to others. And that will be the final result, even though the situation might appear to be very, very puzzling at the time when you are in it. The confidential secretary of a New York merchant placed this company's financial paper before the boss, the merchant, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The company had made big losses, so there were lots of red ink on the financial paper. The confidential secretary tried to comfort his boss, and he said, "A bad year, sir, but business will surely return soon." The merchant, with a very low voice, looked at the numbers in the financial report that were color red, and he said, "Yes, it was a good year in spite of the losses. In fact," he said, this has been the best year of my life. Losses and the best year in my life," that was what he said. He said, "You see, every of the red ink that you see in the paper represents hours of agonizing and prayer before the Lord. And those experiences have made me rich in hope." Yes, every time there was a loss, he will bring this matter before the Lord, and he will pray, he will agonize over those situations. And they had given him much hope in the Lord. And so he said, "So much so that I could not despair over any other loss." So he says, if I were to incur any kind of losses anywhere else, I will not despair because of the rich hope that he has given me. The future looks bright to me because God has said that he will not withhold any good thing from me that walk uprightly. The confidential secretary, who before that trying year was an unbeliever, said, "Sir, may I tell you this? Yes, it was the steadiness in your hard times that made me want to know the Christ that you have known. I agree with you. It was a very good year. You see, it was because of your testimony that I came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior." So you see, the events in that year of the merchant's life appeared to be not only purposeless, but they appeared to be working against him. But what was the end result? The end result was blessing to himself, his hope was enriched, and blessing to his employee who came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now think of those disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who thought that it was purposeless or even dangerous for them to return to Judea. Had they not returned to Judea, they would not have witnessed the raising of Lazarus from the dead. They would have missed out in seeing that great miracle performed by him. They would have missed out in the great blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ had in store for them. Next, let's look at this great friend's love for Lazarus, John 11:15. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now when the two sisters sent that message to the Lord, they said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now the word love that is used by the two sisters is actually a different word from the word love in verse 5. Now the word in verse the word that was made use by the two sisters, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick, is love of a lower kind. It is actually tender affection or brotherly love. But the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ showed to his disciples, showed to Mary, Martha, and to Lazarus, was love of the highest kind. It was sacrificial love, agape love. It was that love that sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Indeed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is no fair weather friend. He is one who sticks closer than a brother. Yes. He is the everlasting friend. He is the one who laid down his life for even his enemies, not just his friends, but his enemies. For God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, enemies of the one true living God, Jesus died for us. John 11:11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now when Lazarus was alive, he had this friend in Jesus. Now when he died, did he have this friend in Jesus? Of course he had. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Actually, what he was saying is this. Lazarus has already died. But he said, our friend Lazarus. So when Lazarus was alive, Jesus was his friend. When he died, when he was sleeping, was Jesus his friend? Yes, his friend. Now what conclusion can we draw, my dear friends? Like Lazarus, when we are alive, Jesus is our friend. When we pass away, when we go to sleep in Jesus, he continues to be our friend. The Word of God says it very, very clearly. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, our friend. He's our friend forever and ever. The Lord very lovingly and very tenderly viewed Lazarus' death as sleep. And indeed, we believers who die in the Lord Jesus Christ go to sleep in Jesus. The sting of death, which is sin. Sin is the sting of death. The sting of death has been removed. And it was removed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yes, and those of us who have trusted him as Lord and Savior have this thing of death removed from us. So my question to all of us here is this. Have your sins been taken away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if they have been taken away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this thing of death would have been taken away from you. So when you die, my dear friends, it is not death. But you go to sleep when you die. The soul goes, but the soul does not go to sleep. All right, let's remember this. The soul does not go to sleep. There's a cult that teaches that the soul goes to sleep when a person dies. No, the soul does not go to sleep. The soul goes either to heaven or it goes to hell. All right, so when we pass away, my dear friends, our soul goes straight to the Lord Jesus Christ into his presence. And of course, as believers, our body goes into the ground. But one day, this body will be awakened when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And when he returns, the body will be raised up from the grave and our soul and body will come again together. And we will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and we shall be like him. So those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ go to sleep in Jesus. Now the friends of Jesus in Bethany were given to hospitality. And they were rewarded for their hospitality. And their biggest reward was to see, to witness the Lord Jesus Christ raising up their brother Lazarus from the dead. Now, if the Lord has given us this gift, yes, the ability to show hospitality, my dear friends, let us show the hospitality for His sake, for His glory. And the reward will be ours, the reward will be great, because the hospitality that we show to fellow believers in the Lord, to saints in the Lord, to servants of the Lord, will be seen by the Lord Jesus Christ as hospitality done to Him. And then we learn also today that even friends of the Lord can fall sick because we have inherited a sinful nature and we have a corruptible body. And when we are sick, the pertinent question that we need to ask is, why are we sick? Why are we sick? Yes, and the Lord might have a very special message for us when we are sick. So we need to ask why we are sick. Maybe it is to ask us, to allow us to lie low, because He wants us to lie low, because He wants to teach us His truth, He wants to draw us closer unto Himself, He wants to cause us to be dependent on Him. Or we could be sick because of some sickness, because of some sins that we have committed, and the Lord wants us to repent from those sins before something worse befalls us. So let us ask our question, why we are sick when we fall sick? And what should we do, my dear friends, if we have a problem of sickness in the home, or if we are sick, what should we do? The first step to take is to turn to whom? Your doctor? First step to take, remember, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for help first of all, before you seek your doctor. Now, when our Lord appears to be delaying His answer to our prayer request, my dear friends, let us always, always remember that He has a very, very good reason for doing so, as in the case of His delaying in coming to the village of Bethany at the request of the two sisters. My dear friends, He's got a good reason. Let us always remember that. And sometimes His action could appear to be very, very puzzling. But if we know for sure that we are placed in certain situations because He wants us to be in those situations, let us be very patient. Let us wait on Him. Yes, our Lord does not do anything that is not good for us. We will discover when we are very patient and we trust on Him, that all things will work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And finally, let us see that He is our friend when we are alive, and He continues to be our friend when we are dead, as He was to Lazarus. My dear friends, the question for all of us to answer this morning is this. Are we His friends? Are we? Is He our friend? These are questions that we must answer. Are you His friend? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. We thank You that You are the friend to sinners. And this morning we thank You that there was a time in our life when we were still Your enemies. You call us because You wanted to befriend us. We thank You, O Lord God, that there was that day when we came to You and we were reconciled to You by the precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. In this morning, we want to pray for those who might still be outside You. We pray that You will speak to their hearts and cause them to come to trust in You. If they are Your enemies, Lord, we pray that they may realize the dangerous position that they are in. Cause them to repent today. And Father, we pray that You will help us to understand that You will always answer our prayers for Your own glory. And that should You delay in answering our prayers, there is always a purpose. And help us to recognize that that purpose is always for Your glory and for our good. O Lord, we pray that You will be pleased to magnify Your holy name through our lives. Help us to glorify You always. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.